I'm here to join you to make a little news. My name is Pete Buttigieg. They call me Mayor Pete. I'm a proud son of South Bend, Indiana, and I am running for President of the United States.
Welcome everybody back to the Good Guy Pete podcast. It's been a minute since we've been down here to record. I've missed you guys.
We missed you.
Yeah. I know. Ryan, have you missed me?
Yeah.
Oh, but I've missed being with you guys. I've missed being on air, if you will. We're not officially on air, but we're kind of on air.
Yeah.
And man, it's been a good month. We've seen a lot happen in the campaign. And just yesterday there was the climate debates. And that's kind of what we're focusing on today. We're focusing on Mayor Pete's climate plan that he just released, and we're talking about climate.
That's invigorating.
It is. It is. It's going to be good.
Very important topic.
You know? It is a very important topic. Generally, the Pete that we've seen talking about this on the national stage is the Pete that we've seen around South Bend. And I think this morning when he was on Morning Joe, you get a kind of good glimpse of what that's looked like. So give this a listen.
It's very important because being a citizen is something that has moral content. Being a voter, the choices we're making are moral choices. And I think one of the reasons why we haven't gotten as far as we should on the climate debate is we're sometimes talking about it as a scientific debate or a political debate when we should really be talking about it as a moral debate. It's why I'm actually a little bothered by the phrase save the planet, as if it's just this abstract thing of this planet. Look, the planet in some form is going to be here no matter what. I'm interested in saving people who have to live on this planet. This is about harm being done to human beings, and that has moral weight, especially when you layer in the fact that disadvantaged communities are usually those who bear the brunt of natural disasters and other climate change impacts. So in addition to things that you might believe certainly are true in my faith tradition, around stewardship of creation and the fact that the way we treat the environment has moral implications in that sense. Just the fact that the way we treat each other, the climate debate fundamentally is about how we're treating each other. Whether we think it's okay for some Americans and some people around the world to suffer more today and for whole generations in the future to suffer more tomorrow because we're unwilling to make the tough political choices and to summon the national ambition to actually do something about this. I do think that whether it's that issue, certainly the gun issue, or any number of other things we're facing, we've got to be willing to engage at the moral level and do away with this idea that that only one side of the aisle is going to talk in moral language.
So what are your guys' thoughts to the Morning Joe interview?
I just love it. I think it's classic Mayor Pete, and it's Mayor Pete speaking out of values, right? And so often these things become just these things we learn about in a textbook or watch a documentary about, and we kind of miss the deeper level of what this is about, right? And Pete makes it about people. I love that thought that it's about how we treat each other, because it's not just this thing happening elsewhere, but it's this thing that is affecting our neighbors. It's affecting each of us, and it's affecting people around the world, especially those who are the most oppressed already.
I got on Twitter last night after the debate or the town hall, whatever you want to call it, and people were starting to see that in Mayor Pete that haven't seen that before, that his policies come from his values. It was interesting to see people start to connect those dots that weren't on the Mayor Pete train that are like, oh my goodness, this is value driven. This isn't just talking points. And so those things that we've been harping on, I think for months and months and months, people are starting to see for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And he even used the words yesterday about unifying the country. And so it's not just about, get excited.
Yeah, that excites me.
Unify the country. Because I think something with climate change, it's easy for some people to just sort of not think about it because it doesn't affect them directly. And what he's saying is you are affected. You just don't always see it. And if we're not working together, we're not going to be able to solve this issue, basically. So it does go back to his values. And not only that, if you guys watched it, you also see that he also ties in some of his other plans And that's another thing about Pete that I really like seeing, is that his plans are not independent of each other, but they typically tie into each other. Oh, and yes. Right. It's just, it's refreshing. But that's sort of who he is. This isn't just about one issue, because this issue affects this issue and we need to think about those together.
And it's so commonsensical that just, it makes sense to us because we've seen this play out for so long, but I just get energized to see more and more people introduce this idea that all these policies are intertwined. Yep. It's because that's how we are as a human race.
Yep.
In essence, one of my favorite quotes from last night was when he said, imagine what it would mean if a net zero emissions cattle farm were as big a symbol as American achievement in fighting the climate crisis as an electric vehicle. We'd be so proud of that.
Yeah.
And it's this idea of rallying. I grew up in Farmtown, USA. And so like,
yeah, you did.
I did. My last name is Yoder. I don't know that I'm not Amish.
To be determined.
It's TBD. But I picture my farming friends and community getting on board with like, hey, we're doing this thing all together, unifying. We're going to kill it.
Yeah. So one of the things when you read that, I just started to smile and laugh, because if you watched Pete last night, whenever he talked specifically about rural America and their sort of their role in all of this, he was genuinely excited, like smiling, like just, you could tell that he gets so much energy from this. And I don't, and obviously, you know, he's sort of my horse in this race, but like, I don't see that from other people. Like, they've got plans and some of them are really good plans, but, just his genuine excitement behind it, because you can tell he actually values that. And I think we've kind of forgotten sometimes about what role farmers can play, right? And he's talked about soil, and it's like, this is what we need to be talking about. And these are things that we haven't necessarily either thought about before or really figured out how to implement. And he's got that in his plan.
What I love about too is when he talks about farmers and rural, he's not othering them. It's hey, we're bringing you in. It's very inclusive language of, we're doing this thing and we need you guys. We're relying on you guys, and you guys are not the problem. You guys are the solution. That it's just an awesome way of phrasing that and putting that together and bringing people together.
Yeah. And all these things are authentic because, like we said, they're coming from values, but they're also coming from experience here in South Bend. His talking point early on climate was, he was saying that we need to stop seeing climate as something that is about videos of the polar ice caps melting, right? But instead recognizing as things happening in our neighborhoods. And he always talks about the two floods that we had in South Bend within a short period of time from each other. And I remember these as they were happening. What do you guys remember? Like, what was your experience and memory of these floods that we experienced?
Well, I'm fortunate as far as where my house is in relation to the river and high ground, that it did not affect me directly. I had other friends and families that could not say the same. But I think over, and you're not from South Bend, you may not know what I'm talking about, but over by the Y, right, mm-hmm. is known for flooding, where the river comes over and actually like goes over the road. But I mean, they had to like boat people out of that section. And you're thinking like in the town, like South Bend, Indiana, we actually had to put boats in to kind of get people away from that. It's insane to me, but that's what we were dealing with here in South Bend.
I remember I work at the best coffee shop in town, the General, often. And I remember when I would go down there to work, basically Howard Park was gone.
Yeah. Right.
The main central park of South Bend.
Completely underwater. And I looked at that. I'll never forget that scene. I was like, whoa, this is nuts. This is happening literally in my backyard.
Yep. I had neighbors. So I do live along the river, and lived even closer during the first flood when I was in Keller Park. And I remember going over to neighbors' basements and helping them try to stay ahead of the flooding, and water pouring in just through the cracks in the walls, mm-hmm. like someone had shoved a hose in the middle of a hole that didn't previously exist, and just filling up their basement, right? And I mean, this is what floods are, but the fact that we had two of them that were supposed to be like once every 1,000 years and once every 500 years or whatever, generational floods, and had two within quick succession was just crazy. I remember there was roads in town. Mm-hmm. There was a road on the south side that just completely collapsed due to the soil being washed away underneath it in the flood. So these were things that, as it was happening, I remember my neighbors going through it and remember the cost, the damage to their house, the difficulty getting insurance to do anything about it whatsoever. Like, it's not just about what the weather is like. This is about the cost to families trying to recover from these acts of natural disasters.
A lot of people aren't going to have flood insurance because we're not typically in floodplains. Right. Like, this happens a lot. My friend lives in Jay County, Indiana, and they've had the exact same thing, if not worse, than South Bend has had. And it's people struggling to get insurance, struggling for help on their homes. Happened in South Bend, happened in Jay County. It happens a lot of places that aren't historically known for flooding.
So let's move forward to what Pete is talking about doing and what he's done in South Bend, like this forward projection now. And we just want to emphasize that as we talk about these conversations, especially these policy conversations that we're having now, or as we talk about other policy rollouts that come or have come, we're not here to talk about specifically what Pete has already implemented from these policies. These plans in South Bend, it's not like, oh, his climate plan he just rolled out. Oh, did he also roll out that climate plan in South Bend, or his Douglas plan for Black America? Did he roll out that plan in South Bend? Because honestly, like, the roles of a mayor and what a mayor is capable of doing is different than what can be accomplished at the state or federal level. Mayors just have their hands tied, especially when they're restricted by state or federal policy. So it's not that we're saying that Pete has already rolled out these plans here in South Bend. We're claiming that. But what we're saying is that we want to talk about how Pete has forwarded the cause of the underlying values, right? The values that drove him to this climate plan, that now he's saying, okay, I have these values. What could I do if I had access to the federal government? What could I do with that, right? What did he do? What did those same values drive him to do here in South Bend? Because again, the thing that's important for us to show you is that acting on these values are nothing new for Pete. He's not coming in here. This isn't pandering for votes. This isn't talking the talk. These are things that he's believed for a while. And so we saw him take these values and act on it here in South Bend. And regarding climate, specifically those values that we see are an increase in renewable energy, a focus on decreasing emissions, and using incentives to bring about these results. We're just going to go through kind of like a checklist of ways that we've experienced Pete's actions here in South Bend over the last 7 years or so. We'll have links that will be up in the description if you want links to the actual news sites, because we're not going to dive into the minutiae of all the details. We're just doing some quick hits of our memories. But the first thing that comes to mind is streetlights all around town, which started as a part of the Light Up South Bend program. And Light Up South Bend was an interesting thing because I remember, and I mentioned this before, being a neighborhood organizer at the time when this came about. And we were in our neighborhood saying, how do we deal with crime in our neighborhood? How do we deal with helping our neighbors feel more safe and more secure and more protected? And saying one of the things we could do proactively was to increase the amount of lights that people don't want to break into a house when they're standing under a spotlight or a floodlight.
Right.
And streets feel safer when you have more light. So we were petitioning the city to increase the amount of lights in our neighborhood so that things would be safer. And what Pete came out with then was the Light Up South Bend plan, which did that and also did so much more. So one aspect of the Light Up South Bend was that he was going into neighborhoods around town that did have higher crime rates and was willing to double the amount of streetlights in those neighborhoods. He did that in my neighborhood in Keller Park, and it made a drastic difference. But he didn't just do that, the thing we were asking for. He also made sure that he did it in a way that encouraged the use of renewable energy. And part of that was encouraging neighbors and providing incentives to neighbors to be able to do solar-powered lights on their house.
What's cool about these is in those neighborhoods that you're talking about, so there were graphed out different neighborhoods that needed these lights. And so if you qualified, you got to buy that light at 10% of what it cost. Letty, do you remember the cost of that?
10%? We're talking $50.
$50. Which is insane. So right. You get this brand new light that helps decrease crime in the area. It lights up the entire neighborhood. And it's renewable, right? Because they're all solar. And if you're outside those areas, you got to buy it for, I think I paid like $250.
Which is 50%
the cost. And I was for sure doing that. I jumped on that so fast. One, because I love lamps.
that is the most random Michael statement that
but
I think
it's
we've
very on brand for Michael.
But no, they're can I say they're beautiful? They look good and they make your neighborhood look better.
Right.
And evidently, like obviously, it does what it's supposed to. It lights up your entryway, it lights up your whole street. And so he was able to, it was like three birds with one stone, right?
Going back to tying everything together, yes. Right? Exactly.
Yeah. So on one hand, there's been this thing we've seen from Mayor Pete that's like, when there's something new that we're doing, let's do it in a renewable way, right? Which has been really beautiful. But there's also been not just doing new things in a renewable way, but also kind of retrofitting or going back and undoing the unhealthy ways of providing energy. One of the things that we saw is that they went to our largest, I guess you could call it convention center.
Conference center.
And ended up putting solar panels on top of all of that. These are not these big profound things, right? You may hear that and just think that's the smallest of steps. But given what a mayor has control over, what we saw time and time again is when the opportunity presented itself, Mayor Pete stepped up and took us on a path towards more renewable energy.
But the stats on that are insane. Like doing that, it offset over 19,000 pounds of coal annually.
Wow.
And it was significantly reducing the cost over the next 15 years. So it isn't the most grandiose thing that they did, but the significance of it is, I would say, pretty big.
Did you say grandiose?
Yeah.
I love that.
I'm gonna say it again
because I can't believe you said that.
So surprisingly, I have a large vocabulary, guys, and I just don't like to bring it out all the time because there's this persona I need to keep. Gotcha. You know,
grand adios.
All right, we'll write that one down. So solar panels. Next, we've said that. I'm gonna get Letty wound up on this. We're gonna talk about smart streets again, right?
So I love them.
And introducing smart streets. It was Mayor Pete making our city more walkable and bikeable, which is not only good for business, and we already went through all that, but let's talk about just from lowering emissions, like what that does for our city.
When we talk about smart streets, I mean, as Michael has mentioned many times before, they're just regular streets. But one of the things that was implemented as part of that, of course, was sort of the roundabouts, right? How many roundabouts do we have in town now, guys? We have quite a few. And so that eliminates what? That eliminates you stopping mm-hmm. and letting your car just kind of sit there. And also we're not using the lights. So there we go with energy saving again. So you are able to just kind of drive through. Now, granted, South Bend has had a transition period that I think we should be closing in on now as far as everyone's ability to use the roundabouts. But, you know, this isn't a new concept.
You would think.
Right. You would think. It's not a new concept. I mean, you go down to Carmel, Indiana, and I don't even think they have lights. Everything is roundabouts. But I mean, that's just sort of, it's a simple thing. And it's also, you like the word beautiful, Michael, but it just makes us look prettier, I guess. So it's sort of that aesthetic as well, but it's sort of this bigger thinking as far as we're saving energy this way as well. Cars aren't stalling as long. They're able to go through. We're able to go through more quickly. As soon as we get through that transition period of learning how to use the roundabouts, we're in pretty good shape.
The other big thing was the bike initiative. We are one of two silver level bicycle friendly cities in the entire state. And so with the smart streets came bike lanes, and it made it easily accessible for people to bike to and from downtown, to and from work. And these bike lanes are pretty sweet. Like we're talking, there's places on the sidewalks for them. There's places on the roads for them. It's unique from what I've seen.
And just all over, not just on the smart streets, but putting bike lanes in, widening the roads, making it biker friendly, because the more people that are riding their bicycles, the less people are driving cars, the less emissions that are out there, which again is something simple. But when you talk about what can a mayor do, that's a simple thing that a mayor can do according to the value. The mayor's administration was also instrumental in bringing lime to town, which is now everywhere. But again, we were the second city in the country that had it. So we're on the front edge of bike share from that from that perspective. They implemented electric vehicle charging stations in different places around the downtown. There was charging stations before there were people with the cars around town to be charging them.
Why would you get one if you didn't have a charging station?
Right. So leading the way, calling us to be better people by the policies that were put into place. In addition to that, there was incentives for homeowners to be able to be more climate friendly. There was grants and incentives that were put out for if you were willing to do things to your house to add energy savings or weatherization, you could be able to get funding for that, which was incredible. But then generally, just the general approach is one that says we're going to be climate friendly as we can be. When the nation, when the president pulled us out of the Paris Climate Agreement, Mayor Pete put us into an agreement with other cities around the country that said, hey, you can pull us out as a country, but as a city, we are going to still hold ourselves accountable to this agreement. Part of that was taking steps because there are standards in that agreement that talk about the emissions that come out. One of the things they did is they converted our city's vehicle fleet to cleaner sources of energy. So instead of using just standard gasoline, they converted the city to a clean fleet that featured hybrid, natural gas, and electric vehicles for all of the city's fleet, which is over 218 vehicles. We actually have our trash trucks, solid waste trucks.
Also, our city solid waste fleet also runs on compressed natural gases, which is converted from human waste. So I think we call that the poop to power.
Poop to power. Our own poop.
That's right.
Is powering our trash trucks.
I mean, I don't want to think about it.
I do.
Too deeply, but I think it's fascinating.
That's
right?
Amazing.
I feel like I've carried more of my fair share of powering our city.
Oh, that's amazing.
But all right, like. The creativity to do that, right? Like the creativity to say, we're going to leave no stone unturned, no toilet unflushed. We are going to power our city in whatever way possible. This is silly at this point, but it's just saying time and time again, when push comes to shove, new projects have been done in a way that use renewable energy and conversion of high emissions opportunities have been converted into ways that are much more eco-friendly.
And this is, I mean, no pun intended, this is just the tip of the iceberg, right? Because there's policies on policies that we haven't, thank you, that we haven't hit on, like the 10-minute walk initiative. There's things that are constantly that are being done in South Bend that go along with this initiative.
Right, and very quickly, because that is important to point out, the 10-minute walk initiative is that anyone in South Bend will be within 10 minutes of walking to a green space. And so we've seen a lot going on in the city this past year with the public parks as far as them being really revamped and redone. So that it doesn't matter where you're at in South Bend. If you want to walk to a green space, it'll be there. You want to bike there. We've got bike lanes. We've got miles and miles of them that they've put in. And that way, you know, that we're doing that in our own city to really kind of help promote this idea, this value that Pete has for our city as a city.
And the why behind this is why I love it. This is what Pete said. Maintaining a first-rate park system isn't just about enjoyment or fun, really. It's about equality, value, and health. And that this is climate change, but it goes back to value. Why are we doing this? Well, we're doing this for equality, value, health. Not of just certain neighborhoods. We want all neighborhoods in South Bend to be within walking distance of this.
All right, let's wrap up this climate portion. There's so much more in Pete's national plan. That's what I love. I love seeing if he was able to do this with the resources of a local government, even a government in a state that restricts some of these progress points. I love seeing what he's able to do with his national plan, what he's able to do if he would have access to the resources of the federal government. But if there's one thing we wanted you to hear from us today, it's that this is consistent with what we've seen in South Bend. At least the values of caring for the environment are something that it's not just talk, it's something that's been pursued from the beginning. And we're just really thankful to be able to be in a city that's forward thinking like that and to be able to have had Pete's leadership over this period.
So this brings us to something I think we're all excited about, but none more excited about than Letty.
That's right.
This brings us to phase three.
Hashtag phase three. Okay.
So for those that don't know anything about phase three, Letty, let's just act like I have no clue what this is about. Hit me with
That's how right. I normally treat you in my conversations in life. That's right.
So recently, our favorite listener of all time, Liz Smith, was quoted.
Who is she?
Who is she? I can't with you, right now. Offended. I just can't. He just offended me as her fan club leader. So phase three is basically.
But like for the audience.
All right. Liz Smith is senior advisor for communications for Pete's campaign.
There we go.
Okay. Look her up. She's amazing. But anyway, so phase three. So Liz was recently quoted and they were talking about Pete's campaign and sort of how it kind of like lulled a little bit over the summer, which the way is now being sold and the way we're all buying into it, because I truly believe this, is that this is all part of the plan, right? Everything is, there's nothing about Pete's campaign that is not just planned out to a T. We got to talk, before we get to phase three, we got to talk about what phase one is. As Pete's campaign. So phase one, of course, was being able to pronounce his last name.
Yeah.
Boot, edge, edge.
Right. We had the shirts. Right. So that's phase one. Phase two.
So you would say name recognition.
Right. Exactly. Nobody knew who he was. And those who like did learn who he was, like couldn't say his name. So before we can put this guy on the ballot, we should know how to say his name. Simple. He started with a campaign of what, like three people when he announced?
Yeah.
All right. Phase two. And this is where I love Liz. I really do. And you guys already give me permission to drop the F-bomb. But I'm quoting Liz. So the second phase, of course, was to blow everyone out of the fucking water when it came to campaign donations. And we did that in quarter two, raising the most in quarter two next to anyone else. So now we're on to phase three. And as soon as this article came out with Liz's quote, Twitter lost their damn minds, myself included. I hope that I had something to do with that. But it was just this, like, phase three. You guys were in phase three. Like, we need to go, go, go. And then the next thing that came out, 20 offices in 20 days in Iowa. And that's just, that's amazing. Because they're in it to win it. And now we're at the ground game. Now we're in the primary states. And it's all about that relational organizing that we've talked about before as far as getting him out there.
So phase three is?
Phase three is the ground game. That's what that is. It's opening up these offices. It's getting out there. It's really now kind of pushing, like we're getting closer, right, to these first primaries. And now that we have people on the ground, we want to be able to compete with those who still have, I guess you could say, better name recognition, and really meeting people where they are at physically.
Yeah.
In order to bring them onto the campaign message.
And it's a little unconventional the way they're going about doing this. I remember even sitting in one of the meetings for South Bend for Pete, when their campaign came in, said how they're going to reach the next group of people for Pete is going to be through peer-to-peer. It's going to be boots on the ground. It's not going to be the traditional way that candidates have gotten their name out. And we saw that all kind of bunched together and rolled out with this phase three thing.
He had openings earlier this week with 800 people in attendance. It was, they had to move it to a park because they had so many people showing up. And I think he joked that, you know, this wasn't an opening, it was a rally. Yeah. I mean, this is a big deal. And he's already being successful at it. His campaign is being successful at it. And then on Monday of this week, Labor Day, campaign staff throughout social media world also was completely on top of this phase three. They also launched their own Twitter handle. For Team Pete headquarters, it's based here out of South Bend, to really start sharing more about what's going on so that we're all kind of, everyone's sort of getting the same message as well. So this is a big move for the campaign, and we are all over it.
And a big thing of it, it falls on us.
Absolutely.
Like they're giving, and I think that's why you see such high buy-in from Pete supporters, is because we feel like we have ownership of this. And this is going to happen. If Pete's landing in the White House, it's going to happen because we're getting together, we're organizing, we're storming barns, we're doing all this.
Right, right.
We're doing all this together, and they're saying, hey, go, do this, bring Absolutely. Us all together. I mean,
they're giving us the tools, the resources, the everything, because those of us who already support him, we know why we support him. And I mean, everyone here knows somebody who like is going to vote, but they're not paying attention to anything that's going on. And they're not going to know what's going on unless somebody goes out there and say, hey, have you heard about this guy? Hey, why don't you come with me to this event? So it's so important. People aren't picking up their landlines to answer, you know, to take these polls. Who has landlines anymore?
I don't even answer my cell phone.
Right.
If someone calls me and I don't have a number,
very millennial of you.
That's instant block.
So this is how we're going to get the message out. And this is how we're going to get, this is it. Like, we as supporters need to be talking to other people about why we support him. Not necessarily you need to support him. This is why we support him, and invite them in to even just hear his message. So it's not, you know, it's watch this video. Have you seen this speech? Have you read his plan? And then let people kind of go from there and make their own decisions. And it's catching fire. And we are manning our stations at Phase 3.
It's last night's Twitter was just a testament to that. Just seeing people after people say, hey, I haven't really given Mayor Pete a fair shot, but listening to this, holy cow. Like, it all comes back to what we talked about in the beginning, this value-based driven campaign, whether it's climate, whether it's fill in the blank, XYZ, that message of values is starting to connect with all sorts of people. Mm-hmm. To wrap this up, just to put a couple things on your guys' radars, we have the debate coming up this next week. So an easy win for people that want to introduce people to Mayor Pete is host the debate watch party. That's something the campaign is asking people to do, is just bring your friends and your family over and say, hey, let's watch this together. I know it's still early, and I know you might not give a rip about politics at this point, right, but give this guy a shot. See what he's all about.
I think we're down to 10 people.
Yeah, it's going to be 10 people on the stage, which is, if I can stay that, like, it's still way too many
right.
for a debate. Like, absolutely.
It's going to be a long night.
It is. Just to recap, though, like, this is so much more than a national plan, and climate for Pete has, I think Ryan said, you said this in the beginning, that this isn't just pandering for a vote. It's who he's been from the start. It's who he's been in South Bend. It's who we've seen ever since he's been here. And I think that's the message we want to leave you guys with, is that this isn't something that, again, he's just saying on CNN. This is something that he's lived out, and he's proved that is important to him. And in fact, like, he's put this as his number one issue. But it's not just derived from facts of iceberg. It's derived from values that impact everybody from across the world. And this is all of our issues. And it's, I think, when done right, this can be a unifying thing in our country, not something that has divisive stakes between the left and right. This has potential to bring us all together. And that to me is exciting. That's why I was kind of jumping up and down in my seat when we started this thing, because that's what excites me.
If climate change is about how we treat each other, let's treat each other well.
As always, if you can share and review this, that'd be amazing. That'd actually help Phase 3. That would help us out and help get Pete's message out. We love you guys. We're going to be ramping up the podcast production. I know we said that last time, but this time we actually mean it, I'm pretty sure. And we will be back with more local interviews from campaign staff. We're getting Liz on here because she said she'd be on here. Liz, remember? And we're just going to be ramping up with Phase 3, our production level. We'll see you guys out there. Hey, friends. Do you love podcasts like the one you just listened to? Have you ever dreamed about having your own? Well, my name is Michael, and I work for Truthwork Media. We believe that everyone has a story, and every story deserves a podcast. Let us help you get started. Look us up at www.truthworkmedia.com, fill out our questionnaire, and I'll schedule a time to talk. It's really that easy. Truthwork Media. Everyone has a story. Yours needs a podcast.